Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, reserved in heaven for you. The word of God upon which we meditate is taken from the gospel according to the evangelist Luke from chapter 24. We begin at verse 13. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?' And beginning at Moses and the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." These are the words. In the name of Jesus the Christ, who was delivered up for our sins and raised again for our justification, fellow redeemed in his precious blood. Whether you're interested or not, the 2021 Major League Baseball season has begun, and currently there is hope for every single team. We may assume that we know who will win and who will not, but the matter is decided on the field, and you never know what might just happen. When the season begins, every team and its fans hope to have a successful year. But that doesn't mean it's going to turn out that way. That doesn't mean our hopes won't be dashed. When October arrives, we may be disappointed because things didn't turn out like we had hoped. We might even complain that the whole season was a terrible waste of our time. What do we expect? It's just a game. A distraction from real life. The plans and hopes of human beings often end in disappointment. The last 2 weeks we have meditated upon what the resurrection of Jesus meant to those who first heard about it. For the Roman soldiers, the resurrection was a sensitive problem to be quietly reported. To the religious leaders, it was a matter to be covered up and denied. For the women, it was a message to be repeated again and again. And to the apostles at first, it was something too good to be true. In the minds of the two disciples on the way to Emmaus, things just hadn't turned out like they had hoped at all. They had hoped that Jesus was the chosen one of God, that is, until he was arrested and executed. From their point of view, Jesus' death was simply a terrible waste. In fact, we might even say that their hopes died with Jesus. Even after hearing the report of the women that first Easter morning, they decided to leave town. After all, who wants to be reminded about how their dreams have been broken and their hopes crushed? So these two disciples left for Emmaus, a 7-mile walk, and as they walked together, they discussed all of the heartbreaking things that had happened. Unexpectedly, the one in whom they had placed their hopes came up behind them and began walking with them. He became a traveling companion. And so these two disciples of Jesus unwittingly told Jesus what they thought of his death and the first reports of his resurrection. God, the Holy Spirit enables us to listen in to their conversation with the living Jesus. We hear from their own mouths what they thought about what had happened. Was it all necessary, or was it a terrible waste? Having heard their opinion on the matter, we will listen as the Savior himself tells us the meaning and the necessity of his resurrection. May God the Holy Spirit bless us this morning, that we may grow in our faith in Christ and in the power of his resurrection through these words. Amen. I was wondering, have you heard about the COVID-19 virus? Have you heard about the different vaccines for the virus? Have you heard about the recent police-related shootings? Of course you've heard. In fact, if someone said, have you heard about COVID-19, we might wonder what rock they had been living under. In our information age, we hear about things a world away in a moment, to say nothing of the things that happen in our own backyards. But when the stranger walking with the Emmaus disciples asked what they were talking about, they wondered, what rock has this guy been living under? As a matter of fact, he was behind a stone recently, but that's a different story altogether. They wondered, how could he possibly not have known about the things that had happened? The reply of the disciple named Cleopas revealed his surprise. Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which happened there in these days? And he said to them, what things? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. Since this stranger was obviously terribly ignorant, they told him about the things that had happened to Jesus of Nazareth. They introduced him to Jesus of Nazareth and what they thought about him, and what they thought now, after his suffering and death. While they might have been afraid to admit these things to the religious leaders in Jerusalem, their lips were unloosed to this stranger on the way to Emmaus. They freely admitted that they believed that Jesus was a prophet, mighty in word and deed, that he did amazing things that only God could do, and he did them in the presence of many witnesses. Everyone should have heard about him. While many were impressed with Jesus' words and actions, the religious leaders, especially the Pharisees, and the secular leaders, especially the Sadducees, were not impressed. When their power over the people was threatened, when Jesus revealed their innermost thoughts, they handed over a guilty sentence and delivered him to be crucified. We can see from their words that the Emmaus disciples considered Jesus' death simply to be a terrible waste. And frankly, there are those who look at Jesus' death the same way today. They say things like, just think how many more good things Jesus could have done if he was just a little less controversial. He could have healed so many more people, fed so many thousands more. Yes, so in view of many today, Jesus' death is simply a waste. Moreover, Jesus' death changed these Emmaus disciples' view of him. It was obvious from their own words that Jesus' death had crushed their hopes. They no longer believed that he really could be the promised Savior. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. They were hoping, but they weren't anymore, because he was dead. How ignorant they were, and yet how sure. Prophets had died in the past, but there was no possible way in their mind that God would ever allow such terrible things to come upon his Christ, his promised Savior. Before we stand in judgment of these two disciples, how often don't we figure that we know God's will simply because, well, we know it? If those disciples had searched the scriptures, then they would have learned that the prophets of God had foretold not only Jesus' suffering, but also his resurrection from the dead. If we would only search the scriptures ourselves, then we would discover from time to time that things that we believed to be true were in fact not in accord with God's word and will. For the Emmaus disciples, the report of the women was actually like adding insult to injury. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Which brings us to the question, what was the resurrection of Jesus to these two Emmaus disciples? It was an unnecessary adding of insult to injury. The report of the women seemed to them an attempt to offer hope where there was none. The Emmaus disciples, it appears, didn't want to be comforted. They didn't want to hope. They wanted to mope, and so that's what they were doing for 7 miles to Emmaus. Once again, we could stand in judgment of the Emmaus disciples, but from time to time we do the same thing. Do we sometimes act like Jesus is still dead? When we don't think that we can solve a particular problem in our life, when we're concerned about our children and their lives, or our grandchildren, do we sometimes despair of hope? Do we think that if we can't solve the problem, it can't be solved? Do we act like Jesus is still dead? It's time to start acting like the Savior lives, and that he can still bless us from day to day, and does through his word. It's time to start coming to him regularly in prayer every morning and closing the day in his name. We have reason to be joyful from day to day. We have a living Jesus who is even now working for us. He speaks on our behalf with the Father, pleading his own sacrifice for our forgiveness. He has prepared a place for us in heaven. Whatever difficulties we face in the here and now, we have a real and certain future in Christ. Because Jesus isn't dead. Jesus lives. Let's not be like the Emmaus disciples and go about our lives with our heads down, moaning about, woe is me. Christ lives. We join the Emmaus disciples in being foolish when we, by our words and actions, act like Jesus is dead, unable to help us in the least. Jesus' rebuke of those disciples also applies to us when we mope about life like they did. Then he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. They were being foolish. How? They were slow to believe what the Almighty had promised hundreds, even thousands of years beforehand, and put it in black and white, in writing, so that we could review it. God had foretold through prophets like Isaiah that the Christ was to suffer and die to purchase the release of all humankind from their sins. Which brings us to the last question. What was the message of the resurrection to the Lord Jesus himself? It was a message announcing the completion of God's plan to save sinners. It was the culmination and completion of a promise made by God at the beginning of time in the Garden of Eden. And Jesus really wasn't asking a question here when he said, "Ought not the Christ to have suffered and to enter into his glory?" He was making a statement. Yes, it was necessary. No, it wasn't a waste. It was necessary if you or I were ever to have a place in heaven. Those disciples were in fact the foolish ones because they were slow to believe what the prophets had spoken. They had spoken the very words of God. They had offered the very promises of God. They ought to have seen in those words and in Jesus' own words that his death was necessary. And if we search the scriptures diligently, then we will also see clearly that Jesus' death was not a waste. His resurrection was not an unnecessary disappointment, but something necessary for our eternal comfort. It was necessary that the Christ suffer these things, complete the work of our redemption, and then enter into his glory. For you recall from confirmation class, don't you? That the resurrection is part of Christ's exaltation. It is yet another assurance that he has redeemed us to God. Christ would not have descended into hell to announce his victory had he not won. He would not have arisen the third day if his payment for sin was insufficient, not enough. It was not a waste of time. Not a shame, but a fulfillment of God's own promises made through Moses and the prophets. Jesus' suffering and death were necessary to redeem you to God. Jesus' resurrection calls for joy and not doubt, for it assures us that we have indeed been redeemed to God. Hallelujah. Amen. The peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.